But today I want to talk about wine. I remember when we first started this church, I said something, and at that time there was a young man named Roosevelt. He's about 12 at that time. And I said, "Do you know that it is not a sin to drink alcohol?" And I heard him gasp because he had heard his whole life, "You can't drink alcohol." And I said, "That's just cultural." I remember when I was in Europe at a church in Germany, and after church, well, actually, we went to McDonald's, and in McDonald's they served. But I remember thinking everybody in the church had wine and beer there. And my American Western Christianity was like, "Ooh, wait, that's a sin." And then I remember God saying, "Really?" And I realized how much it had been a culture, because I went to Bible college where I had to say signs saying I would not drink, I would not watch movies either, or play cards, or all this crazy, or listen to rock music, watch TV. We had no TV. God still moved in that place. So I always equated the move of God to external things, when God would have moved just as easily had we had TV and went to movies or drank wine. And I think sometimes we put our culture into our Christianity. So I'm saying this for a reason. But I'm saying don't do things just because you've been taught to do things. Get into the Word and find out what God says about the situation and the subject. And I think you're going to be very surprised at a lot of things we consider holy and unholy that God really has no problem with or has a problem with. Because we talk about all of these external things, yet we don't like to focus on the heart. Don't drink, don't watch TV, don't do these, don't curse. But then in your heart, you're thinking all these horrible things about people, you're gossiping in your mind or with your mouth. And so the heart is really the issue more than anything else. So today I want to talk about wineskins. Not the wine itself, but about the wineskins. Have you ever seen a wineskin? I'm from New Orleans, in New Orleans. But they have them hanging up in all of the shops. And they're basically made out of skins of animals. And it's you might have seen them in Spain a lot. Or you see the pictures of the Hispanics when they're drinking the wine. They've got that, it almost looks like a little harp. So the wineskins were basically ways to store wine. So they would have an animal, they would skin an animal, take the heads and everything out from the inside of it. And inside of that skin, they would then clean it out and they would pour the wine into that skin. They didn't have glass at that time, so they had to have something that could hold it. And wineskins were able to hold the wine. So they would pour the wine into those wineskins, and then they would cork it really good. Now, it wasn't wine then. It was actually grape juice new. But inside of the skin, it would ferment, and it would become wine. So think about this. We have the wineskins. We have it corked. And we have grape juice in there that through the process of carbon dioxide and breaking down, there's a process that takes place where the grape juice becomes wine inside of that skin. Now, when you would pull that cork off, it would pop because there's carbon dioxide taking place fermenting inside of that. But you knew once you corked it, until you were ready to drink it, you didn't take the cork off and pour new wine into the wineskins. Because if you would do that, you have, one, it would not be a good blend, but you also risk bursting that skin because it had stretched the right place for the wine that was put in that wineskin. It molded to however much wine was in that skin to that shape that was needed. And so by adding more wine to that skin, it would have burst because the skins have now become brittle. Make sense? They were pliable at the beginning, but now they became brittle. So that's what's really saying when you're talking about wineskins. There's a scripture. It says, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine would burst the skins, the wine would run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins." And I thought, what a fitting scripture about what's going to be taking place tonight. TGPA has been a wineskin for many people for the last 14 years. Let's see, 2003 and today, that's what, 15 years? So it's been for a lot of different people, and we've had a lot of people who have been touched by our church. We've moved from different buildings. And this move is moving us in a different direction than we have been before. We've never been in a building where we don't actually own or rent that building, per se, for us. This is a multi-purpose building, and so we can't just say on Thursday night, we're going to go to the theater and have a potluck. So there's things that are going to change. You get where I'm going? So, but that's okay, because this is new wine. I think the main focus and the main reason where God is directing us in that area is because of what can be done to cross different cultures in that venue. So right now we have a huge building. We have a place that we can come in, like I said, at night. We have little rooms set aside. We have chairs that are set up. Now, look at the chair in front of you, and you'll notice something. There's a pocket. Inside the pocket, you've got your how to give. You know, you're texting, you can text, all that. All this is in the pockets. Aren't these great? So a lot of information. Those green chairs over there were the first chairs that we bought. They're green over there. Our old building had just the green chairs, and then we ordered these when we outgrew those 50 chairs. And so every Sunday, we would come and put these cards and other information on that table in the very back of the church. We left it there so that when people came up, they could pick up their offering envelope, they could pick up this information, and that they would have the things that they needed for the service. And David Boyd, bless his heart, having a good time up there in heaven, he said, "Can I ask a question? Why do you guys have everything on that table?" And I said, "Because we always have put that because we want to give this information out to the people." And he said, "You do realize your new chairs have pockets, right?" And a deer in headlight time, I'm like, "Oh my God, no. I didn't even think about that." Why? Because I'm so used to the green chairs that I'm not using the pockets that are on the new chairs. So as we're moving into a new place, don't be so focused on the green chairs of TGPA. Be focused on the new pockets that might be in that new place. It may be farther for some people. It may be harder to park. It may be in a place where you feel like, okay, this is not what I'm used to. But there's other pockets in those chairs that we're going to find that we have not had before. For one thing, you can find that building easily. I can tell you, how many of you passed this building up when you tried to visit here for the first time? Okay. Most people have had an issue with it. They at least go around one time. I always said if you go around one time and come back, you're meant to stay. But we've had some people have driven around three or four times and said, "You know what? I couldn't find you, so we're not coming." And it's sad because it's not an easy place to find. So this building will be much easier to find. As a matter of fact, in the very front of the building, there is a huge box office, and it says Out Front Theater, and it's purple. Imagine that. God even has our color there. But it's easy to find. It's also in an area where there's a lot of new construction. So a lot of young people, a lot of new families and condos. We're also just a few blocks away from Georgia Tech. If you go down 10th Street, to the very end of 10th Street is where we're going to be, right on that corner of Brady and 10th Street. So our thought of trying to get, we've been talking about getting involved in some college ministry with some young people because there's a lot of LGBT straight alliance groups and things that we could do things with. And the synergies of that being at that theater is going to be really, really good. The other thing is I can guarantee you I can get more people to stop and come to our church in a theater than in a building that we own. They just feel comfortable when it's not a church, that it's a theater that we're meeting in. I remember when I was in Kansas City, Missouri in the 90s, when I was in Exodus, I became part of the Vineyard Church. Now, I praise, anybody familiar with Vineyard? Okay. I love the Vineyard Church. They were a good transition for me because they were spirit-filled, yet they were also, they weren't affirming, but they were also understood that there were people who maybe struggled with being gay. So a lot of the Vineyard Church had these ex-gay ministries. That's different than the Pentecostal churches who just try to pray the demons out of you. So you'd be cast, that demons would be cast out of you. And That's how the Pentecostal church dealt with it. The Baptist didn't just kind of ignored it, I think. Did it work? No, because it's not a demon. But the Vineyard church had a way to come in. And I remember coming into the church, and I would have nothing to do with the church, let me tell you. I had come out of seminary, and I'm like, you know what? It's been really bad. So I'm going into this ex-gay group. And they said, well, we meet in a Vineyard church. I'm like, I don't want to go to church. Have you been there? Well, you just don't want anything to do. I don't even want to pick up the Bible. I'm just done right now. And that was the point of my life. But the Vineyard church met in a theater. A little theater in Kansas City, Missouri. And so I'm like, I'll go to that Vineyard church because it's not going to be in a church building. By going in that is when I really felt God in a different way in my life, because it wasn't religious, and the Vineyard was very relaxed. The worship was very soothing. Their focus was just kind of just immersion in worship, but just like a soaking type of worship. And I remember being in there, and that's when God began to do some things in my life. And I was in the group, the ex-gay group, and I was there for like 3 years, and that's when God moved me on. What I'm saying is, the location of not being in a church, but being in something like a school or being in something like a theater, it allows other people to come into our venue more so than a church building. Some of you are like, I don't understand it. Let me just tell you, if you've been hurt by the church, it's just an easier transition. I've had a lot of people that say, I will meet you somewhere else. I don't want to meet you at the church. I mean, even during the week when I've met people, they would like to meet me somewhere else. So I go to somewhere else and I meet them. So this new wineskin is going to be a little bit different. The worship time will be different. For one, tonight, we're going to have a great time of worship, but they have never, ever played in this venue yet. So they've got an hour to get everything right. There's going to be some changes to the worship team, and you're going to have to look to Pastor Deb and say, you know what? We know God's in this. We're just going to trust God to work this out. You may not have the same room that you have here. You may not have the same space that you have here. You may not be able to stand in the same place that you stand here. And maybe you shouldn't. I mean, when God changes things, he usually changes a lot of things. And so new wineskins are good. New wine is good. We just can't put the new wine into the old wine skins. Amen? So old wine skins, often you think of religion, identity, old mindsets. I remember being in our old building before we moved here, the one right before here, and there was a gentleman, he's not here any longer, but there was a gentleman that would sit in this particular seat. It was on the second to last row on the very corner. And he sat, that was his seat. That was just his seat, right? Have you been there? So, and he had been with us for a long time. A visitor came in, and this visitor, and believe me, if you think this is intimidating, you should have seen our old building. Remember that? Pastor Deborah Lynn knows that. It was so, I mean, it's off of Cheshire Bridge, but it was those old, old buildings, and you had to go through all these buildings to get to it, and go down some stairs to get to it, and all this stuff. And so it was not the most friendly-looking building. There was no glass on the front like we have here. It was a metal door with bricks. And they're like, what are these people going to do to me when I get in here? And so this guy comes in, and he's nervous already. I mean, I greeted him, or maybe Jill greeted him. I greeted him when he was, I remember seeing him, and he came in, and he was visibly shaking, you know, and I'm like, and I gave him the visitors. I mean, this is how people come in, folks. And I gave them the visitors' information. We gave it to them, and we took that, and he went to sit down, and he happened to sit in this gentleman's seat. You know what I'm going to say. When that gentleman came in, he said, this is my seat. And that guy got up and walked out. So that's old wineskin mentality. But the new wineskin says, the church is not about a building. The church is about the people God wants to bring into his family. That's the church. And that's really what we're feeling God's focusing on. People, not buildings. We pay a lot of money for a building here, but he wants to get us to people. So I want us to get the concept of this stage does not belong to the worship team. This church does not belong to this group. That children's room does not belong to the children. This is just God's place to meet people. And so the same God that we have here will be in any building that he leads us to, because that's where he's leading us. I'm excited because it is going to get us out of old mindsets. I'm as guilty as anyone else. I like to be comfortable. I like things to be set up the way. I'm not a planner, per se, like some people. James is, he's not crazy about that part of me. But I don't want to plan out everything, because I think you can plan things to death. I think you need to be led by the Spirit. I think there has to be a plan, but I also believe that you have to be led by the Spirit. And as Pastor Deb and I were talking about, be ready to move on a dime if we have to. We can't inhibit ourselves by having all the plans. One of the things that we have a great group of leaders, and we are so concerned about you guys. You have no idea. We talk about you guys quite a bit in a good way. But we try to make this experience to be the most non-threatening as well as non-distracting time of worship for you. When we think of everything, even as far as the rumbling in the sound, we try to do everything that we can to try to get a warehouse here to be a church. When we first came over here, I don't know if there's a UPS building right next to us, and right in the middle of service, you'd hear that gate going up next to her because the truck's going to make a delivery. So during one day I was here, I walked over there, because there's nobody ever there, and I said, is there any way you can do us a favor just from 11 till 12:30, can you guys not schedule that? Hey, that's not a problem. We'll just tell them not to deliver at that time. It was not a big deal. But those are things that we thought about for you to make it conducive for you. And so you have a great group of leaders that thinks this way. But sometimes we so focus on things that could possibly take place that I think we miss the Holy Spirit. Because we try to make everything perfect for everything. But sometimes God is in imperfection. I think there's going to be some conflicts in this building already. I know there is going to be, even though I think it's a great location. I think there's going to be some conflicts with some people, and that's going to be you and God to work that out, because we want to do new wineskins. And if all of a sudden we realize the reasons we're moving is not about us, but it's about who we can impact for his kingdom, it changes it. This is a kingdom mindset, not a selfish mindset. I mean, it's further from you to drive. Yeah, it is. It's further for you to drive, for some of us. Most of us don't live in Midtown. We can't afford it, right? You had to move out. But for those who can afford it, a lot of our community is right there. And so for them, when they're going to brunch on a Sunday, we're right by these places that have tons of people having brunch. So they could go to church and have brunch right after. We're right there. I'm excited because we might even be getting people walking down the street to brunch coming into the church. How cool would that be? I remember one of our buildings we actually had it was not the second one. I always number them. But we were singing a song, and we had and I said, somebody open up the doors. And we were singing a song called Open Up the Doors, the music play, you know. And all of a sudden we opened it up and this guy walks in off the street. And it was such a picture of what the Holy Spirit wants to do, to have people who are not part of our body, didn't find our website, just hear the music playing and walk in off the street. I mean, I pray that people think it's a theater and they come in and are like, oh, what's the play today? I'm like, oh, it's all about the Holy Spirit. Let him fill you. Amen. So I'm excited about that part, because old wineskins have old mindsets, but new wineskins is where it's at. Jesus is about the new wine, not the old wine. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am getting you ready for the move. That's what we tried to do the last sermons that we've been preaching, to get us ready for this transition. But I don't want you to think of everything's going to be completely different. So for those of you who need some kind of stability or comfort, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is not changed. Everything else may be completely different. But it's a good time to get the new wineskins in place. And we're going to try some new things. We're talking about possibly live streaming the entire service at the new place starting there. So that's something that we're going to kind of figure out how that's going to be. The reasons we don't do that right now is because some people are not out. And so if we're praying for people or we have some words for people, so we're going to kind of figure out that. But we have a lot of people who've been tuning in from a lot of different places on Facebook Live. Chelsea, thanks for starting and doing that every week. It's such a ministry. And we really, but they say, you know what? The worship's great, but I don't, the message goes off and I feel like, boom, I've just been cut off from you guys. So we have to figure something out. And so there's going to be some logistics in it. This place may work better because of the way it's set up. We may be able to have a ministry to where we can have somebody manning the camera instead of just setting it up. And that way, when we do have something taking place, they can pan away or pan to something else. So we're going to figure that out. But we want to do it for them. Understand where we're going? Okay. So all things pass away, all things have become new, and there will be some things will be the same. Have you ever heard my sermon on the eagles? Okay, three of you. Three, four, five. Okay. There is something that takes place in an eagle's life. This one message is really important, and I think it speaks to us right now. Do you know eagles live to be about 70 years old? That's the average age or the lifespan of an eagle. So they're very similar to humans in a lot of respects, and lifespan is one of the things that they're similar to. In an eagle's life, there's a place that it comes to, and this is when an eagle either dies or not. It's a midlife crisis. And unfortunately for us, we just change the color of our hair or change clothes or lose weight or something. And we're okay with a midlife crisis. Eagles don't have that ability. They have to actually pull their feathers out. Because the feathers are now 40 years old and the ones tattered have now slowed that eagle down. They're split. They may be missing the end of it. They may be folded one way. It's been around for 40 years. Let me tell you, my back is very different at 40 than it was when I was 21. And so the eagle's feathers are the same way. They're tattered. Also on their claws and on their beak, on their talons and on their beak, they have calcium deposits which form. And over time, and so they have little growths on their talons and on their beak to where sometimes they have a harder time getting the prey. So imagine this eagle who's 40 years old. So around 40, an eagle begins to look at his body, and he'll look at each feather, inspect every feather, and figure out which one needs to be plucked out. Those that are old and those that are tattered, he gets rid of. It's a painful process. It's actually a bloody process with the talons. So he'll pluck out these feathers. Sometimes it's every feather that he can pluck out, a naked eagle. And then he'll look at his claws or his talons, and he'll find a rock, and he'll begin to scrape the claws against the rock to get those calcium deposits on. It's not a pleasant process. It's a bloody process, and it's a painful process. And then it says that eagles will then find the highest rock, and they will lay on this rock in the sun with all their feathers gone, the blood on their talons, on their beak, until new feathers begin to grow in its place. It's actually kind of cool because the process takes 40 days. 40, of course, in the Bible is a significant number. 40 years in the wilderness, it's always about new life or always about a new destination, a new regeneration in Christ. In Psalm 91:4, it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge." So the eagle finds a place of refuge, high away from his enemies, in a rock. They try to get as high as they can. Now remember, they have no feathers. They can't fly at this point. They're just these eagles with maybe half their feathers are gone. And so it says the eagle will actually use its body to climb up to a safe place, climbing up that rock to get to a safe place that they can actually find a flat place to get into the sun to begin to grow their feathers back. So they climb up to this rock, they lay down, and they wait. Now, this is a beautiful part. It's a long process. It's very difficult for the eagle to get food. Unless he can climb to it or hop to it, it's a hard time to get those food. He's not flying right now. What they note is, and you can study this, eagles who have been through the same process will see an eagle and know what's going on and will actually drop food to the eagles down below. They will fly over that eagle and they'll say, I've been there. I've been in this exact same spot. I know what it's like to be there, and I'm going to drop food down. And all these other eagles will begin to drop the food down until that eagle is strong and their new feathers are there. And when their new feathers are there, they're like a brand new eagle. They're on the second phase of their life. I really feel like this is what's taking place with our church. I feel like right now we're going to be taking some feathers out, maybe hitting our talons on some things, our beak on some things, but I know that the Holy Spirit is going to be dropping down everything that we need for this transition, because He is our refuge, and in Him we find strength and solace. So it's kind of beautiful, because after the eagle goes through this process, that eagle will begin to look for other eagles who are in this process to drop the food to. So that's where I think our church is going. We've had a lot of good feathers in these last few years. We've had a lot of people that we have met, a lot of people that we have blessed. And God is about to do some rearranging in us. I know it's going to be for good and not bad. I know He's got some great things planned for us. I just need to get rid of my old feathers. So let Him take out the feathers that are tattered, the ones that are not working or will not be working. It may mean that we don't have feathers for a little while, but God's going to grow the feathers in the right place at the right time, because we're going to be in that second phase of our life. I know this is what's going to be taking place, but I just want to prepare people that we may not have all of the feathers right away. Tonight, we're not going to get there. It's not going to be like the NBC peacock. We might have some little bald places that God is beginning to remove feathers, but in its place, there's going to be a beautiful thing, because He is God. Amen? So let's pray. Father, I thank You for our church. I thank You for the plans that You have for us. I pray for tonight, for wisdom for tonight. I pray especially for Pastor Deb. She's done an amazing job with our worship team in every place that we've been. And this, Lord, is going to be different, but give her the vision for the worship team. Give her the vision for what You want tonight to be, for what You want the worship to begin to be in our, even in our church. I thank You for that, Father. As we go forward, I pray for each person that they don't be left behind, that they don't feel left behind, but they feel like they are part of this transition and a part of this process going forward. Because, Lord, I know there are other areas that we're going to need help in, and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.